You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
I was so encouraged last week just hearing Hayley and Yvain and Sarah and Laura. I've apologised to Laura because I missed her name out in update. And I honestly found them so inspiring, just hearing their heart talking about kids. And I'm just so glad I'm part of their church, basically. They are superstars, and it is so important the next generation emerges. And so today we're looking at our sort of Vision Sundays, we called them. Never have we had Vision Sundays where we've been so clueless about what's about to happen amongst us, but we're still going to have them because there is some vision that God is putting in our hearts. And at the beginning of the year, we set out to emerge well and embody Jesus well and to engage well with our community. That was what we set at the beginning of the year. And this year, we traveled the well-being journey, if you remember that, trying to emerge well or put things in place for us to emerge well emotionally, relationally, spiritually, financially, vocationally, making small steps. No one cracked it all. Some of us just cracked in it. I don't know. And then we went on to look at fruitful lives and journey, a different journey, looking at how we embody Jesus well by keeping in step with his spirit and by seeing spiritual fruit grow of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. It's been a journey for us. And last week, we looked at the embodying Jesus well from a different perspective, another angle. We remembered the Last Supper and how Jesus took bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body given for you." We're going to do that shortly. And I suggested that in addition to this being like a foretelling of his broken body on the cross, it was also a picture for us on how he meets us in our brokenness. He meets us when things are tough. Just talking to Hannah and Biyama last night, it was, you know, it's a whole other thing when you hear them say, you know, it's really cool to go for a walk in the park with some friends on Saturday, you know, and not have to be looking out for crocodiles. And you think, and okay. And seeing that, you know, the swings aren't going to actually kill the kids. They're actually safe. And then suddenly Biyama jumped and dived at this little moth in the thing. And he said, sorry, he was so used to killing mosquitoes because it's quite serious if there's mosquitoes in the house. And thinking, oh, crumbs, this. But you know what? It was delightful to hear how they pressed into God in all of that difficulty and challenge. And I mean, they are a delightful couple. No wonder he's still the cover boy of Jubilee Church if you go on our website. don't want to take him off. But Jesus meets us in our brokenness, I think. That image that the Apostle Paul used of earthen vessels, ordinary, fragile, unique, but with a glorious treasure within. That's what we were looking at last week. Treasure, the all-surpassing power of God. The Apostle Paul writes it in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, I'm strong." How we need that truth at this time, don't we? When we are weak, we are strong. It sounds a paradox. Many would say these days that the church is in a weak place in the UK. It is in many ways. Fewer people attending. I had one of those sort of horrific moments realizing that in Farnham, it's now under 1% of young people go to church. We're talking in, you know, point something or others now. another statistic that, you know, that there's been a 24% reduction in children going to church in the last 5 years. You start hearing some of the things going on, and it is really sobering. Church is in a weak place in many ways. I mean, obviously, there are highlights, there's great things going on as well. But we read of scandals, we read of all sorts of things. And how we need to know at this point that as we're weak, we can be strong. And I think this is a moment where the power of God can be made perfect in weakness. And it's a moment to know the grace of God is sufficient for us as we begin to gather, whatever we're doing. Beloved, it's a time for us to embody Jesus, to be his body, his arms, his legs, his voice, his smile, and spread the transformational love of God into our town. It's the time. Never has there been a more important time. And it's good news that if we're feeling weak and rubbish, that this is the time to do it. So today, I want to focus on our engaging well. We wanted to merge well, we wanted to embody Jesus well, but we want to engage well with others. And I want to say that engaging well doesn't mean you have to have it all together. We're all work in progress. We might not have all the answers. But in our weakness, we can pursue the grace of God and find the transforming love of Jesus and become witnesses to him and are called to engage with our world. And witnesses, all they do is give witness, don't they? They tell what God has done. That's what witnesses do. They just say what they saw, what they heard. Reminds me a bit of that story when Jesus healed the blind man. And he heals him, and then he's taken off to the religious leaders of the time and asked, and they asked, he was asked to explain what had happened. And because only certain things happened on the Sabbath, and they were a bit cross that this had happened. And all the man could say, if you read the passage, it's in John 9, is I don't know. I don't know how it happened. I didn't even see who healed me because he'd rubbed mud in my eyes. And if you read the passage, Jesus left before he washes the mud away. And the man couldn't answer the questions that were being thrown at him. The only thing he could say was what Jesus had done to him. All I know, it says, is I was blind and now I see. That's all he could say. He didn't have all the answers. And I just felt as we start out this next season, I want to draw our attention to a passage that would be so familiar to most of you, I guess, in Matthew 5, Jesus' manifesto, and then I want to point something out. And then I want to share some of the things that we could be doing as a church. So let's read it together, Matthew 5, if you've got a Bible or an app, you might want to ping it up. Now, when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up to the mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are you those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Because great is the reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Such a wonderful passage, this. It's the beginning of Jesus' most famous sermon. Very familiar, I guess, in some ways. And Jesus had just been declaring, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was what he was declaring just before that. Announcing a new sort of kingdom, a new way of thinking and doing and being. That's what he was announcing. And then he asks, who are the citizens of this new kingdom? And he begins to show us who the citizens are. They're the people we just read about, the blessed ones, the poor in spirit, those who are spiritually bankrupt, those who are hanging on by a thread. They're the people who are broken and meek and mourning and insulted and persecuted, and the people who are longing and hungering after God because they just know they're not righteous enough. That's the citizens of his new kingdom. It's not the high and lofty and perfect, but the ordinary people who struggle along their journey in a quest for God. They're the people in this new kingdom. And you know what? That's an encouragement for us. It's an encouragement for me. It means that I am not counted out in all my weakness, all my brokenness. It's been hard, hasn't it, this last few years? It's hard enough pre-pandemic. I sort of was really struggling before the pandemic. Seeing coaches and counselors and just trying to get myself sorted out. And then the pandemic came. It's been a hard time. And yet, I'm part of the kingdom. And it's encouraging because the kingdom belongs to you and me and folk just like us outside the church who haven't got it all together. I heard a rumor that last week I was a little bit hard on perfect people, and but I just am, so that's just how it is. We don't want perfect people here. They're just too much to cope with. You see, Jesus says, if you're part of my kingdom, you just come as you are. You come in this moment. That's why he broke bread. He said, you come in your brokenness to me. And yet he says, you also have a responsibility to be salt and light. That's what this passage is about. And the phrase light of the world was an astonishing phrase for the people who were listening to it, because it was a very familiar phrase to those who were listening. It wasn't like a thing he just made up in the moment, like a bumper sticker he could slap on the back of a camel or something like that. It wasn't just like a catchphrase. It was a very common phrase that people would be familiar with. And what was so amazing about it was how Jesus used this phrase. Because it was a phrase, it was like a title the Jews gave to their most respected rabbis, the people who were most meticulous at following the rules, the ones who never did anything wrong. That was who they would be thinking of. And then Jesus comes along to an ordinary crowd sitting on a hill, thinking that they were hungry, and all sorts of brokenness. And he says, you are the light of the world. It's a tremendous insult to the religious perfect people at the time, and a great compliment to the people sitting on the hill. He was saying it's not the great and the mighty he's calling to be salt and earth. It's the ones I've just spoken about, the ones who know that they're not good enough for the kingdom, those beaten up, the meek, the mourning, the ones who've gone through challenging times, who've been insulted, who persecuted, the broken ones who will never measure up to the level that they feel they should measure up to, but have begun to know and welcome the transforming grace and love of God. These are the salt and light, common, everyday, ordinary followers of Jesus pursuing the grace of God. I found this great quote from my new favourite book, which is The Ragamuffin Gospel. It's like a really old book, but it's just beautiful. I found this wonderful quote. It says this: Jesus comes not for the super spiritual, but for the wobbly and the weak need to know, who know that they don't have it all together and are not too proud to accept the handout of amazing grace. Wow. It goes on, as we glance up, we're astonished to find the eyes of Jesus open in wonder, deep with understanding, and gentle with compassion. Oh. So, it's not about the strong, the personalities, the high and mighty. It's about those on their knees looking up and finding a Saviour. That's the season we're entering into. See, Jubilee, we are the salt and light for Farnham. You know, the messed up sinners who've been saved by grace and who are being transformed by the amazing grace and compassionate love of Jesus. It's us who are the salt and light in our community. The theologians call it justification by grace and through faith, and Chesterton called it the furious love of God is what we've come to find. It's just another quote, he says this: God is not moody or capricious. He knows no seasons of change. He has a single relentless stance towards us. He loves us. He's the only God man has ever heard of who loves sinners. False gods, gods of human manufacture, despise sinners. But the Father of Jesus loves all, no matter who they are. This is the good news, the gospel of grace. I love that quote. See, it's good. It's in the good of this that we are called to engage well with our town as salt and light in this season. There are very few of us now who are followers of Jesus in Farnham. You know, we're talking single digits. And yet it takes a little bit of yeast. It takes a little bit of salt. A little bit of light can transform somewhere that's pitch black. So why does Jesus use these pictures? Salt, you probably have heard many sermons. It preserves, it enhances flavour. That's what we want to do as we engage with our community. Light dispels darkness, brings warmth, helps people find their way home, actually, to Jesus. So how do we salt the earth? How do we do that? Colossians 4 says this: be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody. We salt the world with our words. Words of grace, words of peace, words of love, words of forgiveness, words of kindness, words of hope. That's how we're salt. We engage well by salting our conversations. 1 Peter 3 says this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We engage well with gentleness and respect. We're not angry against the world. We're not just the same as the world. We're not just withdraw from the world. We are those who can engage with the world with a gentle, respectful attitude. And you know, over the years, next few months and years, all sorts of people are going to come in here who live different sorts of lifestyles, have different sort of values, and it's going to be a moment for the church to find grace in all sorts of ways. Unless we change our motto and say that we are going to only have perfect people, which might actually be an easier route, come to think of it. No, we won't go that route. What about light? How do we light the world? Well, we do that in our deeds. It says in the passage we read, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, we engage well with our words and our deeds. As we do that, we are salt and light into our community and obedient to what Jesus has encouraged us to do. And we can't write ourselves off. No matter how screwed up we are, no matter how broken we are, however weak and feeble we feel we are, God is calling us to be salt and light, because in our broken vessels we're called to reveal the all-surpassing power of God. I really believe that Jesus is saying, don't wait until you're perfect. Don't wait until you've got it all together. This is our moment to be salt and light through our words and deeds. The elders this week met with all the worship leaders. It's part of our trying to meet all the key people in the church, consultation process, finding where faith is and where God is at work amongst us, and just tuning in to all that's going on. And I was really struck by Chrissy and Catherine. They had both said that they had been praying and they really felt the Holy Spirit say, awake my soul. That was the sort of phrase they had as they were leading the worship. Awake my soul. It's been with me all week. I've just sort of been reflecting on it. Reminded me of the little book the principal of my theological college years ago wrote called Cinderella with Amnesia. It's a little book about the church where he suggested the church has just forgotten who she is. She's got amnesia. We're the bride of Christ. Christ, like, got the whole thing going. The whole universe. And we're his bride. And we've forgotten about that. You see, it's time to awake, I think, up to who we are. In all of our weakness and frailty and problems, and it's time to awake. So how can we emerge well? Well, we emerge well in the good of all this. But I think we also need to begin to do some stuff, don't we? We don't want to be in a rush. We don't want to be too busy. We don't want to do things that we might not be able to do some things because we haven't got enough people to do them. But we want to do them knowing the all-surpassing power of God and the grace of God. And no, it's not about us, but it's about him within us that is going to empower us to emerge well. But for me, this whole vision bit of emerging world, there's two elements to it, really. It's engaging well with our brothers and sisters and engaging well with our town. Those two things, just from a Vision Sunday point of view. Engaging with other believers, I think it's a really important theme for us as we move forward. It's a season where we can do more together than apart. We've had to be apart in lots of different ways during this pandemic, but it's a time to come together in that. It's a time for growth groups to be a place where we can belong and to be known, and in all of our weaknesses and problems, grow spiritually. It's time to be with others. We've got fine group leaders. It's been wonderful to be talking to them. And maybe it's time. I think we're going to need some more as we go forward. Maybe it's your time to become a group leader. I don't know. We're talking about different sorts of groups as well. I had a brilliant conversation with Rick this week about support groups for those with kids with additional needs or those called to foster and adopt. Groups focused on outreach. Groups that need where we can just be for there for each other. To love each other and stir each other up in different ways. I think it's time for us to be together in different ways, not to be isolated, not to be just self-referencing, but to be with others, stirring each other up. We haven't got all the plans in place. I'm just going to be flying some kites this next couple of minutes. But I'm trying to identify where faith is coming. I think it's also a time to engage with other churches. I really feel that's part of our call on us. As you know, my passion is, in some small way, just to be an answer to Jesus' final prayer we read in John 17. That I'm going to read it to you. My prayer is not for them alone. That's the disciples. I also pray for those who believe in me through their message. That's us. That they would all be one. Father, just as you're in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me. We want to be working with other churches. For years, we've been a catalyst to bring churches together in the town. We want to continue to do that. When seeking God, you know, what should we be doing? Should I be giving time to all of this? You know, how do you hear the voice of God? I don't know, perhaps... In a little moment, it was somebody outside the church saying, look, can I part fund your salary, Sean, because I see what you're doing, bringing churches together. You think, crumbs, is that a move of God? Is that an encouragement from God? I think it is. So we want to get stuck into the love in action prayer times, the planning, putting in place for a big Thy Kingdom Come initiative, a major event on Pentecost Sunday at Waverley Abbey House. Talking to the folks at Waverley about Waverley Woods weekend. It's fabulous to have the youth camp and the joint worships thing as well as our Woods weekend and the Vineyard Woods weekend, looking at how we can develop that and sort out the track so it doesn't cause us problems in the rain. We're looking at, as church leaders, at a major townwide mission in the autumn of 2022. Churches coming together to say, look, we've got to share this good news of Jesus in this town. We're gathering the youth groups for amazing, high-quality youth events. Fabulous meeting last week with different church youth leaders saying, look, we want to get together so we can put some fabulous stuff that the kids are proud of, that they really want to invite their friends to. We need to be reaching out to the next generation, the 99% who aren't in church. We've got to reach the next generation. Looking at how we do that. We've got to engage with schools. I'm interviewing somebody to replace Amber this week, doing the schools work, the senior schools work. The opportunities are there. And do you know what? It's time for us to be salt and light in them. It's time for us to be reaching out to this next generation. We can't not do that because Jesus told us to be salt and light. And we can't excuse ourselves just because we're not perfect. There's all so things. I'm so proud of Ben Wills. I'm just going to embarrass him. He's going to blush just for a little moment. He's finished with FCCT, but he's starting up a new ministry, serving churches, going into churches, helping them sort out their systems, their communications, all sorts of stuff. It's been just a thrill to hear Ben emerge into that. He's going to Vineyard, into St. James's, up into Elverdon Heath, all sorts of places he gets these days. And he's one of us going out to bless other churches. That's part of our engaging well in the community. Tonight, the Global Commission events, great to get along. Connect Festival next year, ways of us connecting with brothers and sisters in different ways. Churches in Farnham, wider family of churches. It's time to be together because we can do more together than we can just on our own. Second part of this, engaging well, is engaging well with our community. And that isn't just about the programs Jubilee might put on. It's about us all engaging well with those around us, being hospitable, looking out for neighbours, being salt and light in our workplace, school, street, pub, coffee shop. And little wonderful moments of grace are bubbling up all over the place. Talking to Jane about the Nepalese, and can we use Wading Christian Centre to reach out to the Nepalese over in Aldershot? All sorts of things are bubbling up at this point. And it's exciting to see that faith is building. We are all going to be salt and light. The majority of our salt and lightiness is going to be in our streets, our neighbours, nothing to do with Jubilee, because we are just out there doing it. But there are some things we can do together as well. Rose is put her hand up to doing all the welcome and hospitality for us, so we greet people well, follow them up well. Thrilled that she wants to do that. Vane has got a real vision to see the Den not just blessing kids, but reaching out to families around Wading Christian Centre. I'm so proud of her, just sitting, having a meeting with Reverend Sandy from Brambleton Hall, who's a force of nature. I mean, she is just phenomenal, and it's just, I'm so proud of Yvaine, wanting to connect with families around that area, and wanting to reach out with the community fridge and all those sorts of things. FCCT remains a key framework, food bank, debt advice, all those things. Keep going, because they're deeds that we do. They're light shining. We want to be supportive of that. Pray for Andy, who's chair of FCCT. So many of our people key in those different ways that we are light. We want to make Wading Christian Centre a bit nicer to be in. I don't know if we'll ever crack the smell. I could almost not get Hayley in the car this morning because our car was full of all the stuff for set up from Friday, and it was like an intensification of the smell of Wading Christian Centre in our car as we got in it. But anyway, but I thought, we've got to make this a nicer place for the youth and for the Den and for the families and for Alpha and all the things we want to do it. How on earth are we going to do that with our finances? Then someone comes along and says, look, I want to give you £12,000 to do it up. And you think, God's with us. And they're not in the church, they're somebody else. God is with us at this point, creating faith in people's hearts, stirring faith in people's hearts. We said at the beginning of the year we wanted imaginal cells sparking off, turning the caterpillar soup into the structures of a caterpillar. And you know what? I have had conversation after conversation with people wanting to be salt and light in this community. I remember taking a walk with Paula and Hay and Paul, and I say, I thought I was coming to what I thought was a coffee shop, and it wasn't. You know, it had those feelings. You think, oh, this is a disappointment. And Paul said, what we need is a coffee van. We should have a Jubilee coffee van. And I said, yeah, okay, all the other things we need. And then she said, no, look, and so you just talked to her about it. She said, you know, no, it'd be cool. We could have it up here. I could get there with Claire and a few others, and we could just talk to people about Jesus and play some worship, point people to ways they can get help. And I'd say, oh yeah, I could do that. And we could get on the school run and, you know, do it with a school run. And we could park it outside Wading Christian Centre. And you know, we could do, where there's events in the town, and wouldn't it be cool to have, and I'm thinking, wow, what's this? And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, that's just a lot of hassle. But you know what? There was something of faith in it. And I started mentioning it to a few other people. But that's a good idea. I found the coffee pod. It's for $17,000. And we can brand it. It's got all the coffee machines in it. I'd love to do it. And I just mentioned the 17 grand because somebody might have 17 grand. Or three lots of five. And I'll find the other two. Do you know what? I'm not saying we're going to do this, okay? But do you know what? There's faith bubbling up. I'm not saying we're going to do something around the Nepalese, but there's faith bubbling up. Do you know what I mean? We got sent a paper, the elders. I mean, I talk about a long paper with another idea about doing an afternoon service. And I thought, oh, not an afternoon service. All the churches in the town have tried to do things in the evening. None of them work. And, you know, you can tell what faith I've got in my heart. But, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, I don't know. Hence, we sort of put a little flyer out there in that little survey. The idea was that, do you know what? Most of Farnham are really busy on Sunday mornings. They're playing sport. They're at food markets. They're down at the boot sales. You know, you're at church, you don't know. But if you don't go to church, you go out there, it's dead busy on a Sunday morning. No wonder nobody goes to church. That was the idea. I can't get people to come to church because they're too busy doing other things. And, do you know, I thought, do you know, that is true. That's a point there. Maybe we do an afternoon service and a morning service. Let's wonder whether we should. Is there faith in the room for that? Is there sort of something bubbling up where we need to think differently going forward? We need to be bold. I don't know. I'm not saying we're going to move our services to the afternoons. But, you know, Rick and I were trying to find a reason not to this week. And we came up with two. One was it's just our tradition to do meet on a Sunday morning. And the other was, you know, God only anoints 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And we were struggling a bit, weren't we, to find another reason. So I'm flying some of these kites because, and I'm not, next Sunday it's 10 a.m. here, okay, and the Sunday after, and the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that. But I'm wanting us together to see where faith is. Because I think faith is stirring in people's hearts in this room. In all of our weakness, all of the problems we can lift, identify, all of the difficulties, there is faith bubbling up about how we engage well with our community. And that's the journey we're on to find together. So, you know, usually in these Vision Sundays, this is the plan. We don't have a plan at the minute. We've got some bits of the plan, and we have got some rotors together now. We have got some things going, but do you know what? There's a lot that we're going to discover together in this next season. And we're going to find that as we step out and do some of these things in all of our frailty and all of our weakness, that the all-surpassing power of God is going to come. And the grace of God is going to transform lives. And the love of God is going to come into this town in a fresh way. Because I feel there's something of revival bubbling up. Oh! Something of revival is bubbling up. And we have to put down all of our stuff and awake to the fact that God is on the move. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Well, stand up.